Hi, I'm Mike Holvey, President and CEO of the RAB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. We recently attended the annual NAB show in Las Vegas. Over a five-day period, this convention brought together over 61,000 attendees. It featured keynote speeches, informative sessions, focused on topics relevant to broadcasting, media, and entertainment. RAB's immediate past CEO, Erica Farber, and I had the opportunity to sit down with thought leaders from the industry to talk about their plans for the future. Big thanks to Inco and Benstown for allowing us to record from their exhibit booth every day during the convention. We also included a few live stream interview broadcasts. In the fourth episode of the series, we hear the live conversation Erica had with Salem Media Group's Jamie Cohen, who is the Senior Vice President of Broadcast Digital. Jamie's media career has always been about transformation, working for media companies as they grapple with the digital change, including newspapers and radio. Jamie shares his perspective on radio's digital transformation in this episode.
Jamie, thank you for coming to Radio on Main Street and making this a stop at during the NAB.
I'm very happy to be here, and thank you for asking me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So there is obviously a lot going on here. Before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about your background. You are not a broadcaster, necessarily. You didn't come from broadcasting. So share a little bit about your background and how you got to Salem.
My career in media has always been in some sort of change or some sort of company going through some sort of transformation. In 2001, I was a digital, seller working alongside a classified newspaper seller, helping them understand what was going to be coming with this internet thing for home builders, autos, jobs, and all sorts of other different things. That led me into a career of learning. From there, I left and went to Reach Local to learn more about the digital marketing ecosystem, how to take a look at things holistically as opposed to just representing your own product stack. That journey put me into a couple of different opportunities to work on digital agencies and help legacy media companies start to build digital media assets that could help grow and sustain additional revenue channels. I've been doing this for some time. I've worked in newspaper and moving into radio, there was an opportunity with Salem to build something, unique, build something different, and build something that, changed lives, and brought happiness to a lot of people. And I was able to align my goals with, their goals, and that's what aligned me to Salem. And it's been 6 years of fun. And I really see a roadmap of 6 years and beyond of more.
That's fantastic. I heard you use a word earlier today that I had never heard. That happens all the time.
Can we repeat it here?
But you referred to yourself as a transformationalist. And what a great word. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, in newspaper, I always heard about what it was like in the good old days, and I was never there for those days. So unfortunately, my days were there in transformation, and it was helping, retell a story that was no longer about how many people were reading you or how many people are listening to you over the air to draw an equivalence. It was about how many people were consuming your news and where they were, or how many people are listening to your audio. How many people are live? How many people are on demand? How many people are podcasting? How many people are on a stream? So that's always been where I've landed. And my career has always been working with companies that are looking to change. So some people say change agents, but I've always been in transformation. So I don't know what it's like to go slow. We're always trying to play catch up. And I think it keeps me on my toes.
And I bet a lot of what you do in your job is trying to keep others on their toes as well. Because it's exciting what you're doing. It's new for many of us. 6 years, a lot's happened in 6 years. But steering a ship is not that easy. So what are some of the challenges you've been facing, and how are you overcoming those challenges within a legacy media company?
I think you find where you have alignment, and then you build a data story around that alignment. Because you find where in values you can say, okay, we can agree in all of these different numbers, and these numbers make sense, and this is what it would look like if we were seeing everything run efficiently. And then you let the data come in and tell the story. So it's not about, this is what I think, this is what my prognostication is, this is what I see happening with our company, with the data and the industry, and it's really just trying to keep that moving forward. When you align with values, you can then come back to, lay in. It's less important how we get there. We understand why we're doing the things we're doing, and the how is a constantly changing path to find the smoothest air as possible.
So we're all trying to figure out the best way that we can grow revenue. What's the structure within Salem between the legacy sellers and the digital departments and digital assets that you now represent?
So I think the first thing I'd say is, we don't look at sellers as legacy sellers or new
one
sellers.
One or the other.
Everybody's a media strategist. Okay. So everybody's bringing the same tools, abilities, capabilities through resourcing and teams. Our media strategists that have great relationships have great teams behind them. So it's empowering them to tell that story as opposed to being concerned about, moving forward with digital.
Right.
That's been a lot of what we've done.
You make it sound so easy, but I'm sure there was a lot of training and continued training that has to go into that kind of presentation. It's one thing to open a door, but, your CNAs are different. There are different questions you have to ask. And you talk about shifting from selling products to offering outcomes. And that's a very different look.
Yes.
Than a traditional media salesperson.
For sure. It started for me moving from the day of saying, Mr. and Mrs. Realtor, your full page ad is not going to be doing the same things, and that's likely to shift away, and we need to be doing these things because you're not looking to market your homes. What you're really asking us to do in marketing your homes is generate your phone ringing of home buyers.
Right.
If you understand the goal, you take two different approaches. If the approach is brand, you use brand pieces, but if it's not, and if you don't know the difference and don't ask the question, the worst time to find out is when it churns.
Right.
So that's where there's an always everyday journey of how do we get better? How do we go faster? How do we run smoother? That's the everyday.
But that's such a great point because we have all worked with advertisers who've said, well, radio or audio doesn't work. But in many cases, we haven't asked the right questions up front.
Yep.
To understand, A, what the goals really are, how are they going to measure those goals?
If you turn those questions back, and I always say, what's the one question that had you asked in the sales process would have saved you the pain? And to this situation, it's, okay, I understand it's ROI. How specifically are you going to measure that ROI?
Right.
Because what I found is a lot of our clients don't have that answer. And when you get them to say they don't, the most important next question is, well then, how do we set this up in a different way? Or how are we gonna accommodate what you're looking for if you don't even have a way to do it?
Right, how do we set it up for success?
Correct, I need to know your outcome. How are you gonna measure this? It's not all about brand and traffic to your website.
Right.
That's the difference in, a thriving business and a business that's growing and stubbing their toe and has opportunity to grow, and it's all out there for everybody.
So what is the biggest challenge you face in your position?
It's changing minds and winning hearts. It's helping people understand why what we're doing is not just a product push, it's a way to help their clients that they truly care about have great outcomes and a good experience from marketing. And trying to work them past the spot of, I'm not comfortable with this, to, gosh, I'm not comfortable if somebody else is going to be having this conversation with my client. Because that's the reality and that's the world that we're in. Relationships get you so far. What you're able to deliver through that open door is what determines the outcome, you know, your renewal or your non-renewal. The easiest part of selling digital is selling. Because if you do your job right, your client will buy it.
Right.
It's a solution that fills a problem that they have, that they're aware of, that they now see and have signed off on a plan to move forward because it's going to meet their goals. That's where we need to be. You know, and it's not about a product. It's not about a format. It's about an audience, how we can connect to them, how we can leverage the relationship with our audience to do more with social advertising than you can just get on Facebook on your own. Mm-hmm. You know, I like my data set versus Facebook's data set of who our clients think they want to target. You know, we've got to be thinking this way to maximize our future. I said earlier, we're in a dogfight. Anything we have to use, we need to be using
right
now.
You've been, you know, you jumped in full, both feet ahead, and you've been doing this for years now. And there's a lot of companies that are either just jumping in, or but they're not as mature in the process as Salem is. What do you say to a seller? Or everyone's toolbox has gotten bigger and bigger, and there was a time when some companies, like a Salem, would have more opportunities to provide a solution for an advertiser than other companies because you had, well, your toolbox was deeper. But now more and more people, they're building their toolbox. How do we differentiate ourselves?
Well, you know, again, I love analogies, you know, and we differentiate it by our expectation. You know, again, I buy a $50 steak at Ruth Chris. No plugs. They're not endorsing this podcast yet.
Right.
You know, but yet. You know, but I expect one thing when I'm willing to go there and pay that price. When I'm willing to pay $5 and go to another brand that I won't mention another type of brand that way.
Right.
I know what I'm getting. I know what I'm expecting. You know, so that's very important.
So delivering. Truly delivering what's expected. And
correct.
Then it gets back to what you said, just to reinforce that. If we don't know what the expectation really is,
yep.
And if they don't actually know themselves, mm-hmm. We have to help them get there.
So I have a mentor that luckily I'm lucky to work with, who's on our learning and development team. And one of the things he talked about is a sales call and a napkin. You know, and how easy it can be when we think about how complicated it is. You know, if in reality, on one side of a napkin, we can determine what your outcomes are and how we're going to measure them.
Right.
And I'm going to be coming through and working on your account. Is what's on the back side of this napkin really important to you? And the answer is no. But we believe it is,
right.
Because we love products. And we want to tell people about what those products do. We have to understand what our client wants, because that may not matter to them. And that's when you have the happy client that you have a great relationship with that all of a sudden starts ghosting you. And then all of a sudden you learn, well, we just weren't getting what we were looking for. You know, it's about outcomes. It's always about it's about outcomes on the front of the sales process. You know, what do you expect?
Right.
You know, it's about outcomes at the end of the sales process.
You know, that analogy and this explanation you just shared, it's very much like the actual creative messages. You know, they may say we have these 10 points and we have to have all 10 points in that commercial or in that message. And the reality is the consumer can't consume 10 points in that message. And understanding and honing into what is the most important message that will resonate with that listener. So it's this, whether it's our listener or our clients, it really is the same goal.
And we're talking digital, but we also have tools like this for radio. You know, and there's strong data that we see a strong correlation when our sellers use those tools that help give them ideas about the impact of radio spot.
Right.
They renew at a very good rate. You know, so the data's out there, the tools are out there that we can embrace this about how we sell audience and not worry about how we sell radio. You know, we need to be selling audio to our client. We need to be selling audience to our client. It's all together. You know, and the experience in working with one group over the other, how you align with them. You know, there's, you know, with Salem, we have the, you know, luxury of, you know, very loyal audiences, you know, that we have deep connections and deep relationships with. And, you know, that helps us make our campaigns for our clients smarter because we're deploying them against our audiences. That's when you go back to, you know, in a commoditized world, what makes us different? It's that story, it's the connection, it's the experience, you know, and how you deliver it and then manage that back to your client's expectations are your formula, if I was writing this down, to renewal. You know, it's not one thing, it's all of it.
Right. And how's business this year?
Business is, we're happy with where things are moving on the digital front. We've got opportunities to continue growing on the overall front. I'm happy with the different tools and the different platforms that we have in the marketplace. And I look for us to do some interesting things to bring some, you know, synergy to some of our branding and some of our brands and, you know, grow together.
Is there anything new that you're working on that you would like to share with us or that you can share with us? And there's big smile on your face.
I would love to, but I really can't. But thank you for asking.
Okay, I understand. We're on the exhibit floor. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much technology. It's moving so fast. Everyone's asking questions about AI. From your perspective, you know, you're always looking forward, always excited about the opportunity. How are you viewing AI and the opportunities that that they can help us grow?
I'm ready to embrace what we need to. Again, this is the time to use everything that you can.
Right.
And if there are tools that can build automated ways to do things that take us a lot of time to do today and may be better if we can, you know, show that and prove that,
right.
I'm all for it. I think we have to embrace it. I think there are ways that, you know, I think we have to figure out ways that it helps our sellers. I think it can. I think there are ways that it helps our product. I think there are ways that it helps our process. We owe it to our audience, you know, to find different ways to connect everything together. And, you know, we have different AI projects, you know, that are, you know, happening today.
Right.
You know, I always think about how we're using, you know, AI today, just whether it's going to a ChatGPT to get some basic information or to come up with social media headlines if we're writing social campaigns for some of our advertisers or different things. I think the interesting starts to come in when the AI can, you know, create video products that we can then syndicate and, you know, distribute at scale. How can we generate more assets from the AI than we physically have the person load to do? It's not about going down in people, it's about creating more.
Right.
Because we have to be everywhere the consumer is, and everywhere we're not is somebody else's audience, eyeball, and dollar.
A lot of companies, as they're trying to figure this all out, you know, have created policies about what they can and cannot do within the organization. Has Salem put together any kind of policies that you can share with us for consideration as to how you're looking at AI and how individuals can and cannot use it?
There is no set policy around that today.
Okay.
We're not using it in any generative forms of any of our content anywhere. We're not using it in any host, spoofing of voices or anything like that.
Right.
Everything is authentic. I think there's opportunity in the future. You know, I'm a big proponent of finding those efficiencies to help us, you know, meet the needs of a radio operator and a media company,
right,
you know, into the future. And I think it's going to be different. And, I think as, was said at another convention, it's not AI that's going to put everybody out of business. It's people that use AI.
Well, it always is, right?
And it's true. So our approach now is, what are the tasks that if we could have an automated solution for, it would make sense to start thinking about those things first.
Right.
That would then relieve bandwidth to do other higher producing things. So where are those things in our business?
We need to be asking the questions internally. What is our wish list? Instead of saying, oh, here's something new, let's try it.
Yeah, and we've also heard of other companies that have said, here's your budget every month, you know, to spend X dollars on different AI models, because we want you, leadership, using these and embracing them.
Right.
You know, there's, you know, solid grounds for that as well. We have to embrace it. We can't run from anything, because it's going to be here whether we like it or not, and it's about what we're ready for.
You know, someone said to me, and I loved the analogy, instead of calling it artificial intelligence, let's call it added intelligence. And I really liked that.
Sure.
Because that changed the whole thought process of what these tools are available to us.
It is scary.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's the reality of there's a scariness of technology if it gets used
in
the wrong way.
And in the wrong hands.
And it's pretty easy to do that stuff today. We have to figure out how to use it for the good, but be aware of how it's also used the other way to know what to protect our clients for and ourselves for.
And sometimes it's the bad guy that uses it first in a negative way that hurts everybody's ability to use it in a positive way. So we've really got to figure this out. You know, we continue to, on the broadcasting side, we continue to hear the word disruption, and everything has been disrupted. But with the approaches and everything changes, how do we get more comfortable with being uncomfortable? And, you know, as someone who likes change and you like to stir things up, how do you get many of us who are so afraid of it, how do you motivate us to move forward?
Personally, my job is to align myself with people who share
your vision.
My vision. I've got a great leadership team and a great partner that I've always had at Salem. And that's been, you know, a guiding force to, you know, the path for this company. Without it,
couldn't accomplish it.
No way.
Right.
No way. It's too hard. It's too hard. It needs to be, you know, everybody needs to be on the same plan.
Right.
Rowing in the same direction, because the future of our industry is tied to it. It's no longer, oh, it's the digital thing. It's what we do.
Yes.
It's connecting our listeners to our audience, their eyes, their ears.
Jamie, how do you get your arms around your audience? And I'm sure it sounds like a pretty naive question, but with our audience consuming our products on multiple devices and the challenges of how do you aggregate that individual, you know, I may start at home listening on a smart speaker, and then I get in my car, and then I'm in my office, or I'm in your car, or I'm going somewhere else. How do you follow the consumer's actual listening pattern and get your arms around it?
One answer, a simple answer, is registration. you know, logging in to listen.
Yeah, right.
Other ways is to, you know, engage with you in some sort of email relationship where you want an email from us.
Right.
We now have permission. We now open the door to that path.
And it's pretty important.
Email is very, very important. You know, we rely on email, you know, 96% of people check their email once a day. You know, it's an important, impactful media.
And yeah. Your emails are actually bringing value to that listener as well.
Yes.
You're not wasting their time.
No, we're very efficient about email because we understand how personal it is to be in somebody's inbox.
Right.
That's not marked as spam. Mm-hmm. You know, the deliverability of email is something you have to take serious. It's not about, you know, it used to be about how many people are on your list, and our list is this big.
Right.
If that's how you're buying today, you have some, you know, there are some questions you may want to be asking. You know, and those questions will help you get a better buy of an engaged user versus right. just a user.
That's such a great reminder because it's such an important tool, and I think many of us are underutilizing that tool and forget how important it is. It's great. If you could think of one thing as an industry that we should be doing to remain relevant, what would that be?
That's hard for me to answer, and I won't dodge it. I will answer it, but it because I don't come to the industry from the radio side. So, it you know, I don't want to make it sound like I'm qualified or I'm the person to be saying what radio should be doing. I can only speak to what we're trying to do with a radio company.
Right.
You know, and we're trying to embrace audio in every different way that we can. We have to make sure that if we have arrows, we're shooting them. You know, are we connecting the things we're doing with audience promotion with our on-air talent? Or are we just running audience promotion absent of on-air promotion?
Right.
I think we know it works a lot better when this thing is on.
Yes.
You know, so if as an industry we're not adopting all of those best practices, we're missing opportunities to deepen our relationship and data profile with our advertiser to know what they want, what they're likely to want, and how to keep them satisfied longer with consuming our media.
And it's okay if we have a miss or two. I think sometimes we're so concerned with getting it right that we don't do anything.
It will never be perfect. We will always be evolving. And there will always be, you know, a change coming down the line. Why? Because we're not in control. We're not calling the shots. It's not how I want it to be. It's the audience.
Correct.
It's the user. These are all user demands. And there's also Facebook demands and Google demands that we live with as well. But there's also user demands.
Right.
We have to focus on that user to maintain that relationship, or then we do lose in the long run. Yeah, but you know, our approach is our relationship with our user isn't just over the air.
Absolutely not.
It's in that email. It's over their social media.
Every touch
point. It's all of the ways we can connect, engage, monetize.
If you have one piece of advice, it can be two.
I'm not good with one of anything. I'm sorry.
That's all right. But if everyone in digital reported to you, if you could get us all to do one thing, what would that be?
Document what you do.
What do you mean by
use
that?
Use a CRM. Use something that gives you the ability to say my effort and time is maximized
right.
by using this at the beginning. So everything else can be more efficient down the road. That's not digital. That's sales. You know, it's campaign. It's all together. It's be organized and be deliberate about what you do. If you're not, don't do it.
You know, that's such a fascinating statement, because some of our listeners won't be happy with what I'm going to say.
Well, you're leaving anyway, right?
But right, I'm leaving, so it doesn't. But seriously, many salespeople, uh-huh. or I'll say some, that's not necessarily their strength. That's not something that they want to just sell. You know, oh, I don't have time to document that or put it down. But that you've reinforced the importance of doing that, I think, makes us sort of step back, and we should all really think about that, because in the long run, it probably does save us a lot of time and effort.
It does. I agree. It's how, you know, digital and the world we're in today is too chaotic. Without an organization system, without order management systems, without, you know, without all of these different things and processes, mm-hmm. it's too hard. You know, and if you're not, if people aren't using that process,
right,
things break down.
Internally.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, because everybody has the same expectation. They don't understand. It's like, well, you know, that's a challenging, you know, that starts to be that challenging piece of, we get it that there's efficiency once everybody goes this way.
Right.
But how do we get them all to go that way? And fairly, how do we make sure where we're sending them isn't a bear trap?
Or off the cliff.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. So yeah. You have to be cognizant of that, you know, as well, and try to balance and manage that.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us. This was great. You've given us a lot to think about and some great advice, and continued great success.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Being comfortable with the uncomfortable has been Jamie's approach to being a change agent at legacy media companies. A key insight I took away was getting the team in alignment, and how critical that it is that everything from integration to the sales team is all aligned properly, and also not forgetting the focus on AI. The guiding force has to be getting your team in alignment. It's truly critical to achieving success and positive results.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.